Ramsey TV.
My fan's in a different location, you say. My fan is? It wasn't there yesterday? Do you think anybody cares? You do. All right, well, for those of you who are attending to details here, I guess my fan is in a different location than it was yesterday. But we're going to move on from there because I'm going to say something today that the Israel people are not going to like. Israel types are not going to like what I'm about to say. But you know me, I say the unpopular truths. This dawned on me several years ago, but after I listened to yesterday's video, and I really liked yesterday's video, there's some serious spiritual truth there. I like the big things. I never want to lose the big picture for the details. And the big picture are the first and the last Adam. The first and the last Adam, that's what's really important. Then what is the why Israel? Why did Israel come in between the first and the second Adam? That's the question I'm going to deal with today. This is an expansion of yesterday's video. I thought yesterday's video was really good. I actually watched it after I published it, which is unusual. And I thought, that's good. And I thought I explained it pretty well, but maybe there was some a little bit more detail to fill in because when I listened to it, I jotted down thoughts that I had that I really never had before. And I think I have an insight that I've never had before. And I'm going to give it to you because I'm pretty pumped about it. I'm pretty excited about it. And what could be more important? What could be more important? 1 Corinthians 15:45. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, a vivifying spirit. I closed with this yesterday. The last Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. We are all out of Adam. So apparently, there are only two Adams needed. The one out of whom everyone came and the one and who condemned everyone and the one who justifies everyone that came out of the first Adam. So I look at the first Adam and the last Adam as bookmarks. Bookmarks. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the condemnation, the salvation, the sin, the justification, the death and the life. These two are everything. And this is what God, the big picture that God had in his mind the whole time. And you might look at Israel as I do now. I have looked at Israel this way for about 7 years now, but it just gets more evident to me that Israel is not the main thing in God's operation because Israel didn't come first. Did Israel come out of the Garden of Eden? No, Adam did. So how important is it? It's kind of important, but it's not extremely important in that it is something that interfered with bigger truths in the relative it interfered to teach a necessary lesson that would help us understand the bigger truths, the bigger bookmarks. The first Adam, the last Adam. Also, the creation of the heavens and the earth and the reconciliation of the heavens of and the earth. Here's a great truth right here. And if you want some bookends, here are some bookends. I'm going to give you some real wide bookends here. Genesis 1:1, created by the Elohim, by God, were the heavens and the earth. Colossians 1:16 through 20. I'm going to paraphrase it. By the blood of Christ's cross, he will reconcile both the heavens and the earth to himself. And there is the plan of God, right there. God creates something created by the Elohim or the heavens and the earth. And his goal is to reconcile the heavens and the earth to himself through the blood of the cross. You may ask, then why the intermediate stuff? Why all the things? It is for the sole purpose of contrast and for appreciation of these truths. God's not going to go right from creating the heaven and the earth to reconciling the heaven and the earth. Because for one thing, you can't reconcile something that isn't first estranged. And you can't provide for the enjoyment of the creatures that are to come in the interim and between these two giant bookmarks. You need to people this whole thing with creatures who are created in order to enjoy fellowship with God for eternity. That's the big goal here. Everything ever created will enjoy fellowship. Things on the heavens, things in heaven, things on the earth will enjoy fellowship with God for eternity when this whole plan is finished. But the widest bookmarks I can think of are God created the heaven and the earth, and the heavens and the earth are to be reconciled to God through the cross of Christ. That's the whole thing. In between is peopling the world with people and animaling it with animals and insecting it with insects and filling it with all kinds of life that God is going to bring back to himself for the benefit of the people and the animals and the insects so that they can fellowship with God for eternity. Okay, that's the whole idea. Okay, now let's narrow the scope, because now we're going to talk about the human race, which is very important to God, because the human race is actually designed to get even more glory, more enjoyment, more fun in heaven forever, even more than the ants and the grasshoppers and the praying mantises and dogs and cats, as much as we love our dogs and cats, the human race. So now we move the bookends. If you're watching the studio cam or the living room cam, the cottage cam, whatever you want to call this, we're talking about Adam, the first Adam, and the last Adam. Only two Adams, first Adam and the last Adam. What have I told you before? I said, you're just not all that damn important. People think that, oh, my eternal destiny depends on what I do. No, it doesn't. It depends on what two individuals did, Adam and Christ. For one thing, you were made a condemned sinner through Adam, explained to us in Romans 5, 18 through 19, and 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 23, and you will be justified by Christ, as he's the last Adam. So again, I always say, Adam and Christ are fighting it out, and everybody's fortunes rides on these two. So you might as well just sit in the stands and watch the battle. And I got news for you. Christ wins. Read Romans chapter 5. Christians don't believe Christ wins. They think that Satan wins most of humanity, that Adam's actually stronger than Christ, because Adam condemns more people than Christ brings out of condemnation. That makes Adam greater than Christ. That doctrine sucks. My doctrine is great because it's a scriptural doctrine and it makes Christ greater than Adam. So we now move the bookmarks even closer in. We have the first bookmarks over here. We have created the heaven and the earth, reconciled the heaven and the earth. We have the first Adam and the last Adam. Now we get in between there, we have this thing called, no, wait a minute. We can get another bookmark here called Abraham and Paul. And this has to do with now the information coming to us. What I discussed before was the creation of the things. Now we're talking about the information. Abraham, God gave Abraham a promise, and God and Abraham just believed it. Even God said, you're going to have tons of kids. You're going to have a son. You're going to have billions and billions of people coming out of your loins. That's scriptural talk for, yeah. And Abraham believed it of a God who is calling what is not as though it were. And then on the other end, we have the Apostle Paul saying we're justified by faith apart from works of law. Apart from works of law, justified by faith. What does that harken back to? Harkens back to Abraham. Because before there was such a thing as Israel, there was Abraham. Abraham wasn't an Israelite. No, he was a Hebrew. The Israelites came out of him. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was Abraham's grandson. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was his grandson. So Abraham was not an Israelite. So God promised something to Abraham. And Abraham believed it. And God justified him. God says, it was a righteous thing for you to believe me, just the fact that I'm God. I'm God. You should believe me. I'm God. That's what I tell people today. He's God. Just believe him. Okay? Now, what is Paul? This is an important thing. Now, I got to go to Galatians. I got to go to Galatians. And then I'm going to show you a homemade drawing that I did. It's going to explain everything to you. I'm going to be sneak peek at it right now. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. It's a great revelation. So we go to Galatians 3. This is complicated, but I'm going to try to put it as simply as I can. Paul speaking, brethren, I am saying this as a man, a human covenant, having been ratified, a human covenant, the covenant God made with Abraham, having been ratified, no one is repudiating or modifying it. Now to Abraham, the promises were declared. See, Paul, what Paul's trying to do is he's trying to give an historical precedent for his radical teaching of justification by faith, because people could say, Paul, there's no hint of that in the scripture. It's all about law. It's all about law. Oh, and then Israel comes in. That's the most narrow part of the bookend. Remind me to go to the most narrow end, okay? I'm juggling a lot of oranges here, okay? So Paul says no one is modifying it. Now, to Abraham, the promise was declared into his seed. He is not saying into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. That's very complicated. Don't want to get into that now. But this is what I want to get into. Now, this am I saying, a covenant having been ratified before by God, the law having come 430 years afterward does not invalidate so as to nullify the promise. Hang on to that. For if the enjoyment of the allotment is of law, it is no longer of promise. Yet God has graciously granted it to Abraham through the promise. So there was no law when Abraham was around. He preceded Israel, and Israel, of course, precedes the law. The law of Moses came through Israel. But God ratified a covenant with Abraham that had to do with faith. Faith, just believing. No law whatsoever. And Paul says that covenant God made with Israel, with Abraham, even though the law came 430 years later, the law does not invalidate the promise God made to Abraham. Woo! That is fantastic truth. And Israel, the presence of Israel does not invalidate anything God did with Adam, first Adam, the last Adam, with the first earth, creating the heavens and the earth, reconciling the heavens and the earth. That's big. That's not invalidated by this Israel thing, but Israel is the most narrow, temporary thing, and everybody freaks out over Israel. Everybody thinks Israel's the greatest thing God's ever done. Hell no, it's not. It's a little temporary thing that was necessary to demonstrate the humanity, the practical demonstration that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. I say that over and over again, and I will continue to say it until the snatching away. So let's review, and then I'm going to show you my epic chart, which is a little embarrassing for me because I'm not a good artist. So we have God created the heavens and the earth. Any hint of Israel there? You hear anything about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No? Okay. So it's big and it's broad. God created the heavens and the earth, and he's going to reconcile the heavens and the earth through Christ. Genesis 1:1 and Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Then a guy called Adam comes along. The first man. Remember, yesterday I made a big deal out of one man. Everything comes out of one man, one man. Yeah, the whole human race came out of one man. Get it? He's the first Adam. Then there's a last Adam. Last! We must not need another one. No, the last Adam also contains the entire human race, even though he came after the first Adam. But in fact, he came before. This is an important truth. He pre-existed Adam. So I can even take the bookmark out there where Christ pre-existed Adam so as to show you that Christ is not fixing some problem, some terrible thing that happened, and now we have to figure out how to fix it. Christ pre-existed. Some people don't believe that. Let's forget about that for now, okay? Bad topic for me. Christ, everything was created through Christ, please. All right. So Adam being the first man, and here's the second Adam. Actually, not the second Adam. He's the last. He's not called the second Adam. That's a mistranslation in some versions. He's the last Adam. So all humanity is wrapped up in these two. Then you have Abraham and Paul. Abraham out of promise by faith. Paul a promise by faith. And Paul can resort to Abraham to say, I'm not so crazy after all. And the law, which came 430 years after, here comes the law coming after, does not invalidate the promise God made before. So now the law comes in, and now we have this nation Israel, which actually, let me line it up with the camera, which actually occupies a small little sliver, can you see that now? A small sliver of the Aeonian times, smaller than we think, because we're always just like, oh, Israel's the biggest, the best, the greatest, the Alpha and the Omega. No, it's not. This is the Alpha and the Omega out here. This is the Alpha and the Omega. The promise to God creates, and then he reconciles. And I forgot to tell you, in between there, he wrecks it. Yeah, God created the heaven and the earth became a chaos and vacant. This is God's modus operandi. He's always wrecking things so that people can get all mired in helplessness and hopelessness so they can be delivered from it and feel good. You know how when you bang your head on a wall and then you stop, it feels good when you stop? That's the whole purpose of evil. It is. It feels great when you stop. So this is going to feel great, but only because we've been doing it. I mean, it's going to feel great when this stuff stops, only because we've been banging our head against the wall of life for many years. We're getting tired of it, but it's going to feel so good when it stops. People laugh at people when they say, why are you banging your head against the wall? Because it feels so good when it stops. That's a joke. I used to hear that joke when I was a kid. Why are you banging your head against the wall? Because it feels so good when it stops. There's the whole purpose of God. I can't say it much better than that, actually. Which brings me to my chart. I have drawn a picture of a dog, or attempted to. Every time I draw a picture of a dog, it looks like this. So there's my dog. Now, the dog represents the bookends. The bookends. The first bookend is at the bottom, actually. Don't ask me why I put it there. But you see, can you read my writing? Heaven and earth created, heaven and earth reconciled. The one is the front of the dog, one's the back of the dog. Then I have the next bookend at the top. I don't know why I put it in this order, but that's the way I did it. First Adam and the last Adam. These are God's big things. Then I have justification by faith via Abraham, and I have justification by faith via Paul. What comes in the middle of all this that it seems to screw everything up and confuse people? Watch this. Oh, look how good this is. Israel. Look. Israel. Israel and the law. Darn it. I can't see what I'm doing. Israel and the law come in between. See? There was a nice doggy. And everybody was happy. It would be, life would be so simple, and the scriptures would be so simple if we could just concentrate on heaven and earth created, heaven and earth reconciled, first Adam, last Adam, justification by faith, Abraham, and then here comes Paul. But instead, this complicated, crazy thing came in called Israel and the law, and it interrupts the bookends. Now I'm getting it. Okay, there's the perfect setup. It interrupts the bookends, and the little doggy is bisected. The little doggy don't like it. And we have a gap of 2,000 years that has come in between some of the... Well, even more than 2,000 years if you go back to this, heaven and earth created. That's more than heaven and earth reconciled. Yeah, oh, forget what I said about 2,000 years. That goes to the beginning of the Aeonian times. Now we have justification by faith in Abraham, justification by faith announced by Paul to a different people with a different destiny. And we have, of course, first Adam, last Adam. Do you see what I'm getting at? The Israel thing is an interference. It's a not pleasant thing. It is a confusion to many people. And the funny thing is that Israel thinks they're all that, when they're really the most narrowly focused bookend. They're like, God said, well, I gotta do something. It's almost like God's apologizing. I hate to tell you this, everybody. I've announced these amazing things. I've announced this creation, the heavens, the earth. I'm going to reconcile the heavens and the earth. That's my big plan. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. I'm all about grace. So I'm going to reconcile everything. I'm going to make peace. I'm into that. I love it. But I want to have human beings that I can fellowship with and I can share my glory with them. We are created so that God can share his glory with us. So here comes the first Adam. And the first Adam, well, I got to make them appreciate it. I got to have them banging their heads against the wall so it'll feel so damn good when it stops. So he brings the whole race into condemnation through the one man, Adam. Then he brings the last Adam in. That's in his mind the whole time. God has already planned this in his mind before things roll out in real time. He's already got it in his mind. And so the last Adam is going to bring everything out, which is going to feel so good because it's going to eliminate sin and death, which is nice. And then God loved Abraham, great guy, simple guy, one guy. God says to him, I'm going to do this great thing for you, even though you can't even imagine how the hell I'm going to do it. It's going to be the most preposterous thing you ever heard, that an entire race of people is going to come from your loins, even though you don't even have a son and you're up in age. God told him these crazy things on purpose so that Abraham would go, okay. Okay. Greatest thing Abraham could have said. One word. Okay. God went nuts over that. Just God absolutely loved it. Called all the angels in. Did you hear what this guy said? He said, okay. He just simply believed it. No doubting, no questions, no, but just believe God. Beautiful thing. And Paul says later, announcing justification by faith to a new people, to the nations, to all the world, really all the world, because Israelites can jump their gospel into Paul's, announcing a gospel to everyone now that has to do with what God promised to Abraham, justification by faith. And God's going to, yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. But God, here's God apologizing now. God says, I know I got these great things, big things, but I hate to tell you this, everybody, but I got to I have to make a practical demonstration once and for all time. Because people are going to get the idea that they can earn this. People are going to get that idea. I don't want that to happen, so I am going to create a special nation. And it's going to be a little baby nation, a little tiny nation. And I'm going to use this nation. I'm going to set them up with laws. And then they're going to foolishly think that they can do them. They're going to say, all that the Lord has said we will do. And then they're not going to be able to do them. And it's going to be a demonstration that no flesh can boast in God's sight. It's going to be a practical demonstration that there's no one righteous, no, not one. Because I could sit here and tell you, says God, that there's no one righteous, no, not one. Not one is seeking out God. And you probably wouldn't believe me. So I have to act this out on the stage. So I'm going to stage this whole thing with this one nation. And while I'm doing it, I'll go ahead and bring the scriptures through them. And I'll go ahead, I got to send my son to the world somehow. So I'll send him through the vehicle of an Israelite. Just to confuse everybody even more. Because, as I said yesterday, Jesus Christ had a dual purpose. Not only was he the Messiah of Israel, but he's the firstborn of all creation way over here on this bookend. And he's the firstborn from among the dead who brings everyone back from the dead into life. Firstborn, this is all in Colossians chapter 1. Firstborn of all creation, firstborn from among the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, of course, we learn that everyone ever born will come out from among the dead. So God says, I'm sorry, you know, I got to bring this Israel thing. It's a very small bookmark, very small thing. It's not as big as this stuff, but I got to go through with this. So here comes Israel. And then they think they're the greatest. That's the funny thing. They think they're the be-all, end-all, the alpha and the omega. Not quite. You're a little sliver of a demonstration. But this is how good God is. The demonstration is done. Israel's completely failed. They're some of the most unspiritual people on the planet Earth today. They don't know shit from shinola. But God could have said, okay, there's a demonstration. Now I'm going to leave them. I've used them enough. It's terrible. I'm sorry I had to do that to them. But no, he's such a gracious God. He's a good God. He's going to go through with blessing them. See, God's just not going to bring them in as a guinea pig nation, as a demonstration to the world that if we just had your laws, Lord, if you could just tell us what to do, we'll do it. It's a simple thing. A lot of you husbands tell your wives, you just tell me what to do, I'll do it. But just tell me in plain words what you want me to do and I'll do it. So human beings could say that to God for eternity. Well, I don't know why we needed this grace business, because if you had just told us what to do, we could have done it. God anticipating this would happen because he created humans to be this stupid. He creates a nation. He takes advantage of it. Uses them to write the scriptures. Sends his son through their line, through their seed. Follows through with his intentions. But instead of then, after the demonstration has been made, which has clearly been made by now, you can't tell some Christians that because they're still clamoring to be Israelites. We want to break bread on the Passover. We want to blow trumpets on the Feast of Trumpets. But God is so gracious, he's going to go through with it. He's actually going to go through with it. It's like, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him, that's kind of hard on him there, but I'm going to give him the 1,000 years. I'm going to give him 1,000 years. I cut a little sliver out of the pie. 1,000 years, which is just a little sliver. This is the kingdom on earth, was what I'm speaking of. The fabled millennium. Oh, the millennium, what a great thing. The millennium, that's what we're all hoping and waiting for. No, it's not. It's a little tiny sliver of time. When God says, you know, I got to follow through. I use these people as a demonstration nation. And what am I going to do? Not fulfill my promises to them? No, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them 1,000 years to exercise their kingdom and do all the things that I told them they were going to do that they couldn't do, i.e. old covenant, so I could prove my point. So then, in order to not be mean to them and just like come across as grouchy, I'm going to have a new covenant. and I'm going to put my law on their hearts. It's going to be a freaking miracle, because if I didn't do anything, then they would keep being stiff-necked and stubborn. So I got to put my law on their hearts. So one day I'm just going to go, just breathe like I did to Abraham. I breathed on that guy, and he became excited and had sex with his wife, who was really old, really old. So God's going to do the same thing to the whole nation. It's called being born again. Yeah, that's how being born again sounds. Yeah. It's a national resurgence of Israel. So he's going to do that, and they're going to come into their kingdom, and then they'll be happy, and everybody will be happy, and then 1,000 years will be over, and got to go, finally, that's over with. And then we have a new heavens and a new earth. But he says, okay, what am I going to do? Disenfranchise these Israelites? No, I'm still going to let them be kings on the new earth. But in the meantime, folks, with our message, the message of Paul, the gospel of the uncircumcision, of course, we have a message not for the earth, but for the heavens, the heavens. This is what God wanted to do the whole time. He said, woohoo, love the heavens. I made the earth as a stage to demonstrate all this stuff. I made the earth to demonstrate the old earth, to demonstrate the principles of good and evil, a place where a stage where my son could come and get horribly crucified so that I could prove to the world my love. Thus, God loves the world. He sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have aeonian life, aeonian, not eternal. Whole other topic. So it ends up being a great plan. I don't mean to belittle the Israelite people. I'm just trying basically to belittle the Israelite people. I think I've succeeded. But my goal is not to belittle them. It's only to put them in perspective, put the nation Israel in perspective to these larger truths that all predated Israel. My God, even Abraham predated Israel. Even justification by faith predated Israel. Because Paul said that Israel coming afterwards does not invalidate the promise. Well, guess what? Israel coming afterward does not invalidate any promise. Doesn't invalidate the promise that God's going to reconcile the heavens and the earth. Doesn't invalidate the promise that the last Adam answers the first Adam. Doesn't invalidate the promise that people are justified by simply believing God even when he says crazy things. As for me and my household, which includes my dog and this monkey, we will serve the Lord.